Hello, my friends. You are listening to Mission Possible. I'm Sheila Murphy, Chief Mobilizer for Mission to Mobilization, focused on changing perception for and resourcing returning citizens. There is a total of 7 million folks living under correctional supervision. 4.5 million of our brothers and sisters are living in our communities, and we are talking to some of them. We see the remarkable ways they are overcoming and blazing a trail for others, truly showing the mission is possible. You will also be inspired this week by Coach Nate's battle plan with a sound and solid message for our journey. Now, this week's Mission Possible guest is Dr. Ron Garrett. This formerly incarcerated doctor, author, husband, and father is making a difference, and you're going to hear about it. Turn up the volume and get ready to be inspired by this dynamic leader, Dr. Ronald Garrett. Let him feel your welcome. Dr. Garrett, welcome to Mission Possible.
Good morning, Sheila. Thank you for having the opportunity to be with you today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for being with me. We want to get started. Typically, we just give our guests an opportunity to share a little bit about their story, providing just an overview of your incarceration. And then I'd love for you to share with the audience the amazing work that you did while you were locked up, and we'll just kind of keep flowing from there.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm excited to be with you this morning. I was incarcerated in 1998 in the Georgia Department of Corrections with a 20-year sentence. And once it was crystal clear that there was not going to be a early release, there was not going to be a opportunity to go home before I completed that 20 years, I decided in my mind that what I would do by the grace of God is to go to school. So during the time of my incarceration, I earned a bachelor's degree in theology in 2003, a master's in ministry, church administration in 2009, and then a doctor of ministry, chaplaincy services in 2012. And my purpose and goal was to walk out the God-ordained vision to serve returning citizens, not only during my incarceration, but once I was released. And so by the grace of God, we were able to be instrumental in establishing a reentry dorm model. It's called Faith and Character-Based Dorms in the Georgia Department of Corrections. Now there are 16 facilities with a reentry dorm, and basically returning citizens who are within 12 to 18 months of being released are moved into this housing unit. During that year, they are allowed to participate in classes that will enhance their life skills, soft skills, resume writing, job training, interviewing skills, introduction to computers, money management, parenting, all of the things that a person would need to be equipped with in order to increase their likelihood of being successful upon reintegration.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so that's basically an overview of how I spent my 20 years of incarceration. And again, in 2011, we were also able to be instrumental in establishing the first faith and character-based prison facility in the state of Georgia, which is a two-year reentry model, which now has a less than 10% recidivist rate. And it has been an absolute joy to participate in that process.
Can you talk just a little bit about what that looks like, in terms of, faith and character-based facility? What are some things that are kind of unique to that environment?
The best way I could describe it is for Walker Faith and Character-Based Facility is if you could envision a community college. Every resident of the program has a quarterly schedule the same way you would have if you were in college. As far as from the faith-based perspective, regardless of your religious belief system, you are able to develop your character in accordance to your faith beliefs, so that if a person is a Christian, they're able to participate in character education or Christ-centered classes that are Christ-centered. If a person is Muslim, for instance, they're able to participate in classes that are centered around the teachings of the Quran, because we know that, Christian or not, I happen to be a believer myself, but we know that most of the major world religions, the goal is to produce a person of righteous character. And so if we can be of assistance in that process, what a person, where their soul will spend eternity, we kind of leave that up to each and every individual that enters into the program.
That's beautiful. Do you have an example of maybe someone that you saw as a part of that work and that curriculum be transformed? You know, maybe there's something that kind of sticks out in your mind.
Oh my goodness! I mean, there's so many, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later. But I actually have we actually did a book while we were at Walker, which actually encapsulates 21 testimonies of men who helped to establish the program. But one that sticks out would be a gentleman by the name of Brian Small, super sharp young man, bright, with the ability to accomplish anything in this world, just in need of a second chance and some guidance. He not only entered into the Faith and Character-Based Program, but became a part of the leadership team, and then actually served as my protege prior to leaving, and became the lead coordinator for the entire program when I left Walker. So he's doing a great job, and he's also just graduated from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary with a degree in theology, and he's still incarcerated. Wow. He's doing great things.
Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I want to transition and have us talk about release, you know, once people get out and really in preparation for releasing. You know, what are some of the things that you believe, you know, inmates can do pre-release to prepare them mentally? We talk a lot about physical things and physical needs that inmates have once they leave the facility, but in the mind, there's a lot that's going on in the mind. So how do they prepare mentally to go back home?
Oh my goodness. One of the most fascinating terms I learned while incarcerated was the term reprogramming the brain, rewiring the brain. And I know from a Christ-centered perspective, we're all familiar with the very famous verse in chapter 12 and 1 of Romans, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But how many of us really take that seriously? To be able to spend time preparing our mind for what is going to take place upon release is crucial. And one of the key elements is to actually focus our expectations of what our post-release experience is going to be like. Many men and women hope to leave prison, and within 30 days, they're buying a home, driving a new car, married, and living happily ever after. Unfortunately, in this day and time, that is extremely difficult to do in 30 days, 60 days, or even 6 months for that matter, for a person who hasn't had a felony. So during the time an individual is preparing for release, I think getting a proper perspective on what their reentry process looks like, what success looks like, is crucial.
That's good. That's really good. Really being clarifying the expectation on once they get out or before they get out. Beautiful. Now, what about family support? There are so many people that have it, some don't, that are incarcerated, but I want you to talk about the ones that do not have any family support. You know, the doors open up, they may have a clothes on their back, and what would you say to them? What do they need to do?
The reason I am serving in the capacity that I do today is because of people who do not have family support upon reentry. One of the first, again, I am a believer, and I'm a little partial to my faith. I'll apologize for that for listeners who are not. But I would do my best, if I did not have family support upon reentry, to connect with a church family that loves all people, including returning citizens. And there are many that are out here. But I would not wait until I am released. I would try to begin building a relationship with someone in the faith community prior to my release. And one of the best ways to do that, I believe, is to, if you come across a person that you admire and you look up to the way they have lived their life, go to them and actually ask them if they would be willing to be your mentor. A mentor is extremely huge for a person who does not have family support, because they can become that network of support that you are missing because your family is not there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's key. And do you find that guys are, and women, but I'm sure you work a lot with men, that they see the value in that mentorship relationship?
They do. I think that one of the things that we're making a change with the Welcome Home Reentry Mentoring Program that I'm associated with now with Catholic Charities is being able to go and visit men and women while they're still in the federal system and connect them with a mentor 8 to 12 months prior to their release. Okay. So that they can start a writing relationship and get to know each other through correspondence that way. And we have, in the short time that we have initiated this process, I mean, we've seen some great relationship be formed and have now actually connected some of those people who have now come home, and they are able to meet their mentor in person. And it has been an awesome experience so far.
Okay, that's good. That's really good. I love that, kind of getting them while they're in and establishing those relationships. Beautiful. You know, I want to tap into, you wear a number of hats, and so I want to talk to you a little bit about your role as a visionary. I mean, there's just so much depth to who you are. And so I want you just kind of speak to how you encourage, you know, like-minded leaders and entrepreneurs. The work, as they say out here, you know, can be difficult. So how do you inspire yourself as well as inspire others?
I believe that one of the number one ills of our society, and certainly of the those who are incarcerated, is hopelessness. And so my number one thing that I try to do, I try to live by the mantra of hope, the H standing for healing communities, the O standing for opportunity, P standing for purpose, and E standing for expectations. When we can instill hope in the lives of our nation's returning citizens, that there is an opportunity for a brighter tomorrow, that is a game changer. Because when a person has given up on themselves, there's no way that anyone can really make any headway in helping them to become successful in life until they first have to believe in themselves again. So I try to, as I speak to other leaders and entrepreneurs, I try to encourage all of us to do as much as we can to provide opportunities for returning citizens to help them become successful upon their reintegration process. If you're a person that has an opportunity to, you have hiring power at the place that you work, or you have the ability to offer someone a room to rent or an apartment to rent, these type things are absolutely crucial for all returning citizens coming home.
Mm, yeah, that's so good. You know, I was just thinking that, let's say I was a returning citizen and just a guy that, you know, I met you and I did feel hopeless. I mean, I could really even be maybe at a place of suicide. We have a high rate of suicide that's now in our country. What would you say to me if I just said, you know, bruh, I'm struggling and I'm out here. I don't know what to do. And I don't even know what I'm going to do, but I know that I can't make it and I'm really considering ending my life. What would you say to me in this moment to encourage me?
What I would say is what I often do is sit down with that individual, look them eye to eye, and basically testify about the grace of God and how he has so greatly changed and impacted my life. And I would share with them about the time in my life when I was in their very predicament, strung out on drugs, alcoholic, homeless. I mean, you know, a hot mess is just a nice way to clarify the person that I was many, many years ago. But only by the grace of God and looking to the hills and whence cometh my help, and finally believing that my help cometh from the Lord, and beginning to read my word, walk with the Lord, not only read the Bible, but apply it to my daily life. That is what has led me to the place that I am today. And I wish I knew another route to give a person. I can only share my own personal experience. I know what worked for me, and that is what I share with countless individuals daily.
Hmm. Okay, beautiful, beautiful. And I would ask you one other question related to this is, Are there a couple of things that you do, you know, kind of a regimen or kind of an order around your day that keeps you inspired, that keeps you, you know, filled up along with you praying and in your word?
I still practice journaling, which is something that, I can't leave out my praise and worship time. That is just a part of my everyday life. I don't think I could breathe without it, to be honest. Time of prayer. I must continue to read, study, learn, and grow on a daily basis. And then family time along with journaling. Journaling has been one of the most impactful things that I've taken up over the past 25 years of my life because it allows me to share some of the thoughts and hurts and pains that I think I see, that I think I perceive. I put it on paper. And many times, 6 months later, 8 months later, I'll come back and read something that had me totally perplexed at that time. But because I just remained faithful with the Lord, kept walking forward, He revealed to me the exact reason why I went through what I went through. Mm. And so I think for a person that is experiencing difficulties in life and don't know the answers and the what's and the why's for now, to put it down on paper and to keep pushing forward. But when you look back on it, it will be revealed to you why you went through what you went through.
I so agree with you. And, you know, and I believe that, you know, many of the things that you're doing or even some other people may be doing that seem very common to you, that people don't realize that those are things that they can incorporate into their lives. I mean, you've just been doing them. And so you don't even think it's a part of who you are. And so I just wanted to be able to pull that out, because that does those tiny little tips really can make a difference in people's lives. So thank you. The other thing, I know that you recently have participated in our Mission to Mobilization Walk a Month workshop. And so I didn't want to miss this opportunity to give you a chance to talk about maybe three ways that you believe that the assimilation has been impactful. Because you already told me that it was, but I wanted to give you a chance to say that on air.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the Mission to Mobilization Walk a Month workshop. We have been referring to it as the simulation experience. And I want to say that the number one most impactful thing for me was the experience itself, because it definitely shares with a person who is not acquainted with what it's like to be a returning citizen coming home exactly what it is like for that individual. I have actually witnessed people over to the side in a corner, actually weeping at what they were experiencing, understanding that they were just there for a simulation, but there are actually real live individuals on a daily basis who are having to deal with these life challenges. And so it makes it crystal clear the needs of returning citizens, which are solid family support, stable housing, and employment. And thirdly, the thought of forgiveness, grace, compassion, and everyone being deserving of a second chance requires my participation in that process. And so everyone, I think, that goes through the simulation, they take those things away.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, you started talking earlier, or I kind of maybe baited you in a little bit about your book. And some stories, testimonies around that. Can you talk a little bit more about that, some things that you want us to know in terms of the book that was developed?
Well, it was laid on our heart to kind of chronicle what took place during the transformation of a 400-bed prison into a 400-bed faith and character-based reentry program. And so we have compiled in a book called Men of Destiny, Redeeming the Time, Stories of the Faith and Character-Based Program Pioneer Graduates. And each one of these testimonies share what it was like from the day that each resident arrived at the prison, what the conditions was like, all the way through the process of becoming a facility where the cells are no longer locked. personal property of the residents of the program no longer have locks because of the level of integrity and character that is being instilled in the men in this program. Just, I would like to read just maybe one quick quote from a person that says, "Men of Destiny, Redeeming the Time, communicates the transforming power of the faith and character-based concept. It is amazing, to say the least, to witness the dynamic impact this historic initiative has made in the prison system. The pioneers of this program have blazed the trail for a 21st century prisoner rehabilitation paradigm." And I think that that's one individual's impression of the book. And I think that if you were to read it, those who are listening, I think you would feel likewise.
Now, how can people, how can they get the book? And then also, I wanted you to tell people how to get to your TED Talk. Just how can people connect with you?
Okay. The book can be ordered on ronaldgarrett.com, or you can email me at ron@ronaldgarrett.com. And again, the name of the book is Men of Destiny, Redeeming the Time. You can follow me on Facebook at Ron Garrett, or on Instagram at dr.rongarrett. That's dr.rongarrett. You can locate my TED Talk, which is Permission to Dream Again, The Impact of Addiction on Mass Incarceration. If you simply Google Ron Garrett TEDx, and that's TEDx, Ron Garrett TEDx.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Now, as we prepare to wrap up, I always like to give our guests an opportunity to share one last piece. You know, if I could give you one opportunity to get one message into the homes of every American and share something related to the work around returning citizens, then I want to know, what would that be? What would you want to say to them, or what would you want them to know?
America was founded on the ideology of second chances. If there is a demographic on this planet in this day and time in the United States of America that truly deserves a second chance, that truly deserves forgiveness, it would be our nation's returning citizens. Many men and women have made a terrible decision, a terrible choice that has landed them in prison, and we cannot go back and undo that. But as a nation, as a country, we can wrap our arms around those individuals and extend a helping hand so that they can truly receive a second chance at being successful in this country. And the way that we can do that is through mentoring, providing housing opportunities for returning citizens, and for those who have any kind of connection to employment, whether you are a human resources manager, a manager at your on your job, that you have the ability to hire or to give people entry-level opportunities at employment, I would beg of you to please consider those who are returning citizens, because they do deserve it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I just want to thank you again for just an awesome time. You know, I've learned even more about you than I knew before, and I believe that our listeners will be blessed and encouraged and inspired, you know, to do even more. So thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing your life. And I just believe that you will just continue to do great work as we continue to move forward, making the mission possible for returning citizens in this country. Thank you again.
Well, it's always an honor to speak with and spend time with the Chief Mobilization Officer, Mrs. Sheila A. Murphy from Mission to Mobilization. You're doing an outstanding work. Anything that I can ever do to serve alongside you, I'm just a call away.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Okay, well, this wraps up this portion of our call, and I will talk to you soon. God bless.
Thank you, and you have a great day. Have a blessed weekend.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The pre and post release work Ron has done is amazing. You know, he said so many great things, and something especially that touched me was about his conversation with the one that may be considering suicide. There is nothing more powerful than a transparent story coupled with the strength of God. Ron's ability to look into someone's eyes and say, I've been there, then fill in the blank with his story and say, I'm living today to encourage you. Guess what? You can do that too. That infuses POWER. That's what this show inspires. Power for a very possible mission for all of our returning citizens. Okay, you know I've got to keep it moving. And so on our way, we must stop and get some tactics and tips for the journey. Up next, Coach Nate.
Hey, human. Coach Nate here with today's battle plan. So you find yourself facing your worst fear. There it is, standing right in front of you, overwhelming, paralyzing, perhaps feeling like it's chasing you or taunting you. You've all been there. Some of you are there right now. Understanding that fear is an emotion. Courage, while courage is looked upon as a character trait, in the heart, its source, it's an emotion. We've heard the saying, fight fire with fire. It was Ruth Gordon who said, courage is like a muscle. It is strengthened by use. Each time you face your fears, fighting emotion with emotion, courage being defined as facing a difficulty, a danger, a pain, bravery. Some say it's without fear. Others say it's in the face of fear. Regardless, courage is, I'm going to step forward into this thing that is feels like it's against me. And regardless of the outcome, I'm going to step forward. The worst I will walk away with is strengthened courage. Again, courage used is strength built in your courage. You develop it by use. Fortunately or unfortunately, as is the case in life, you're going to get plenty of opportunities to strengthen your courage. Take them, utilize them, just like going to the gym. The payback is strength and courage without having to pay the gym membership. So when you're facing challenges, when you're facing difficulties, when fear is right in front of you, step into it, not run away from it. Don't cower, but get courage. Find your courage. Build your courage. What that will do for you is the next difficulty, the next challenge, the next fear. You're all the more, the stronger, the better, the skilled to face and conquer that. Life gives you opportunities. Take them. They come in all different shapes and sizes. Strengthen your courage by facing your challenges and difficulties. Until next time, Coach Nate here. Live your best life on purpose now.
Thanks, Nate. You know, as I've been thinking, I thought about, I've had some extremely tough times in my life. Maybe you have too. Yet for me, I consider on this side of that pain, I can truly say I made it. With the help of God and others, I'm standing here today with a sane mind, strong spirit, and purposeful mission. My guests and I are in agreement, and we share a common theme. When you go back and listen, you'll hear it, and it wasn't by my prompting. I have a simple quote today. It says, "No one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of others." Well, that's what we're doing, resourcing returning citizens and changing perception. We're making ourselves useful with the Buy for Returning Citizen campaign, Walk a Month simulation, Free Families curriculum, and this week's highlight on Friendly Congregations. If you're not already, please go to our website under Resources and Friendly Congregations to see how easy it is for your faith community, whether you're Christian, Muslim, or Jew, to be a welcoming space for folks post-incarceration. Well, we are out of time, and I hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as I have. I'm Sheila Murphy, and this is Mission Possible. Visit Mission to Mobilization to check out our work, and visit NateBattle.com for this week's battle plan. Until next time,
create your battle plan
and make your mission possible.